grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our second lesson, Book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, baseball great or legend Yogi Berra was known for his skill as a catcher with the New York Yankees. He also was known for his observations on life, or words of advice that he would give to people that were kind of oddball. You were sort of scratching your head and laughing at the same time. Like, for instance, the importance of planning. He said, "You've got to be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might not get there." It kind of left scratching your head. Then he gave this word of advice: never answer an anonymous letter. When he was asked if he wanted his pizza cut into 4 slices or 8 slices, he said, 4, I don't think I can eat 8. And this is my favorite one. He said, always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't go to yours. And then commenting on inflation, he said, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. And finally, for today's lesson, for today's scripture reading, he said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. But you can't take it, can you? You can't take a fork in the road. By definition, that will not work. Either you got to go one way or you got to go the other way. You can't go down both ways at the same time. Life teaches us that. Experience teaches us that. And God's holy word teaches us that. Genesis chapter 3, right at the very beginning, Adam and Eve stand before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they can either go with the Lord or with the tree. They're at a fork in the road. They can either go with the Lord or with the serpent. But they can't what? Do both at the same time. You can't just take a fork in the road. Joshua 24, a little farther in God's word. Joshua said to the people of Israel, he said, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. People of Israel already had the Lord. They already had the true God. But Joshua says, well, if you're going to go some other path, I guess that's the way that you're going to have to go. 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophet Elijah said to all of the people of Israel on Mount Carmel, he said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? You're at a fork in the road here. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. They still wanted to take the fork in the road. And of course, the words of our Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's a fork in the road. You can't go both. It doesn't say you shouldn't serve God and money at the same time. It says you can't do it. It's not possible. You can't serve the Lord and the serpent. You can't serve the Lord and other religions. You can't serve the Lord and Baal. You can't serve the Lord and money. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. It doesn't work. It can't happen. It can't be done. You got to go one way, or you got to go the other. Now, do you ever get tired of worrying? Do you ever get tired of worrying? I do. I get sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of worrying. Like the old hymn says, why spend the day in blank despair and restless thought the night? Tired of worrying. Because what does worry do? It burns up all this energy. Burns up energy. It wastes time. It wears out the people around you. It darkens days. It's like the old World War I song. How do the words go? What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. Never was. Never at any single time was worthwhile. And so our Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, again, he said, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his span of life? It doesn't accomplish that. Worry is a lot like gossip. Neither of them has any redeeming qualities. And you would think with both of them, we would run from them like the plague. Run from worry like the plague. The only problem is what? Where will you run to? Because worry runs fast, doesn't it? And worry has a way of always getting there ahead of you. You think you've gotten around it, and all of a sudden, there it is waiting on the front porch. There's work, and you go in this world to get away from it. Oh, I guess I'll just get a cabin in the woods, and I won't have worry anymore. I guess I'll go live on a desert island, and I won't have worry anymore. Of course, you're looking in the wrong places. You're looking for some place in this world to be free of worry. Now, we can create smoke-free zones 10 feet away from the door, right? But nobody has yet come up with a worry-free zone where you're free of it. It's everywhere. Actually, that should be corrected. It's not everywhere. We confess the same in the Lord's Prayer. We say what? We say, Lord, this is what we're praying to you. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And how does it go from there? On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there is a place where there is no worry. And we're saying that we wish this place would be a little more like that one. But there is a place where there is no worry. And the reason why is because you're together with the Lord. Because you are with the Lord. Because everything is in his hands. And so you can sleep like a baby. Because mom and dad are there to provide everything that you need. And so the good Lord. What's the old tent song? It says, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy, actually. The hymn is taken from that. It says, there's none like God. God rides on the heavens to your help. He comes through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And you think about that for a moment. What a great day that'll be when you're safe and secure from all alarms. When will that day come? Well, if you open your Bible, you will realize that that day has already come. That day is today. Because ask yourself the question, isn't everything in the Lord's hands here too? Isn't everything in the Lord's hands now, too? I mean, worry's everywhere, but isn't the Lord everywhere as well? Psalm 139. Lord, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be like night, even the darkness isn't dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is at light, as light, excuse me, with you. Darkness is as light with you. What were our Lord Jesus' last words before he left this world? What did he say? He said, surely, in other words, you can bank on this, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What are the last words of today's lesson from Philippians chapter 4? It says, the God of peace will be with you. And you know that because God's word says it. You know that because of your baptism, because God wrote his name on you and said, you belong to me. You know that because of Holy Communion, Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, this paid the price, your sin is taken away. You know that because of the absolution, when the preacher gets up, whoever he is, and speaks in place of God and says, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all these things together point in one direction. It's like all your fingers pointing one way, and what do they point to? They point to the cross of the Lord Jesus and what he did for you. They all say, your sin's taken away, you're a child of God. The Lord's with you, the Lord is for you. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And what is the most concrete way in which you and I lean on the Lord? Well, you could say we look for guidance in his word, and that would be right. But I'm going to suggest something else, or something in addition, and that is this. You lean on the Lord every time you pray. Every time you cast your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That's what our lesson for today says to us. It gives us some alternatives. It says, don't take the fork in the road. You've got to take one side or the other. It says what? What are your alternatives? Worry or what? It's not worry or be calm. It's not worry or be happy. It's worry or pray. Worry or pray. Even if you can't be calm, even if you don't feel calm, even if the calm is going to come later when the good Lord decides when it should be there, it's worry or pray. Lean upon the Lord. And so here is where we are going to part company with Yogi Berra. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. No. Rather, I recognize that I've got worry here, and I've got prayer over here, and I'm going to lean on the everlasting arms. That's where I have to go. And with that, maybe we should add one thing, and that is that I said to you earlier that worry has no redeeming qualities. And maybe that isn't entirely right, because there is one quality that it does have. It makes sinners like you and me lean upon the Lord. And that's a good thing, to cast our anxieties upon him, because he cares for us, to place your requests before him. And also, if you looked in the lesson for today, what does it say? It says you cast all these things upon the Lord, you call upon him with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. And maybe that's the strongest statement of faith of them all, because remember what Christian thanksgiving is. It isn't just, I'm thankful for all of the things that have happened in the past, but I'm also thankful for all the good things that will come my way in the future. Because they will, I trust that they will come my way. Why? Because the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. And so, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Rather, in all things, with prayer and with seeking the Lord and with thanksgiving, your requests, let them be made known toward God. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ our Lord. Amen.